Good morning. Just five verses this morning. Not responsive. Romans 3, 27 to 31. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also. Since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith, do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law.
Romans 3. For us this morning, Romans 3. Today we end Romans 3. And then we'll be taking a short break from the book of Romans. Next Sunday, we will have a guest speaker here, Tony Wood, who is our speaker for the men's conference. We'll be staying for Sunday. And then the Sunday, well, actually, as soon as that day ends, I begin a week of vacation post-conference. And so the April 13th, I will not be here, which means Pastor Mark is going to preach his first sermon as pastor in our church for Palm Sunday. And then the Sunday after that is Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And the plan is we're going to be in Job 19, where Job makes a declaration, I know my Redeemer lives. And so it won't be until the end of April. April 27th is our plan to begin Romans 4 and be back in this book. Church family, one then other just prayer request announcement for us as a church body. This week, one of our church family, Joan Slain, is headed for surgery. She has waited for this surgery for a long time. We'll just go there. A long time. Been in pain for a long time. Hasn't been able to attend for the last several Sundays. And so Thursday, she is headed to surgery. And I say that to you, that you jot that down. And that you're in prayer on Thursday. You're in prayer afterwards for rehab. A sign-up sheet went out to help her in different ways. And I think everything on that thing is already claimed. And so that RSA Church, good job being a church family and helping in different needs. Today, Romans 3 is going to give us the first implication from our last three chapters of the gospel being unpacked, of our need of justification by faith. And I hope that implication is going to draw us towards communion. And so with that in mind, let's pray. Father God, we already sang of this, the truth that Romans 3, this passage, is going to unpack for us. But just because we sang it doesn't mean that it's real in our life. It doesn't mean it's being practiced in our life. We sang that we don't boast in anything except Jesus Christ. I pray that is true. I pray your word works humility in our life. I pray your word works salvation in people's lives. So in a few moments when we take communion, it is out of hearts of thankfulness for what you have done, not what we have done. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Romans 3, 27, if you look at it again, that Peter read for us just a couple seconds ago, poses a question, and I simply want to borrow this question this morning as we walk through this passage. Really, actually, almost unpack this one question. He asked the question, verse 27, so what becomes of our boasting? I could phrase it this way, where's our boasting now? Now that question, where's our boasting now, makes an assumption. And I think it's a safe assumption, but it does make an assumption. It assumes that we were already boasting. It assumes that it was part of our life that we would boast. And so then it comes to this passage and asks the question, so where is our boasting now? But it's a safe assumption because we do boast. We boast in our achievements. We boast about our kids. We really start boasting when we get grandkids. We boast about their trophies and their school achievements and how cute they are. We boast in our heads. It doesn't have to come out in our words. We boast in our heads how we're a better driver than the other person who just cut us off. Every time we pull up to a four-way stop, we boast that we're the only person who understands how a four-way stop is supposed to work. They don't. We boast about our new purchases that we post them online, our new amazing crafts we made, how we have the best lawn in the entire neighborhood. We boast about how we just achieved a personal fitness goal. We write Christmas letters that are supposed to say Merry Christmas. And really what they are is, let me tell you about how good our family was this past year and all the things that are really cool that our family did. We're even so prone to boasting that we've invented this subtle way that we can boast when it doesn't really seem like we're boasting, because we know boasting's not good. I mean, it's kind of off-putting. So we come up with this humble brag where we can kind of like just kind of work it in subtly into our conversations, because we want people to know how good we are. So when I get to verse number 27, I read this question like, so what becomes of our boasting? So where's our boasting now? It seems like the obvious answer is, well, like, what do you mean where it is? I just put it up on Facebook. Where's our boasting now? We could, in some ways, rewind the conversations we already had this morning and hear our boasting. We could play through the thoughts in our heads as our service unfolded and hear some of our boasting. As we tell ourselves that, well, we're better than them. Look how I serve, they didn't. I'm here, they're not. I'm pretty good. Maybe our response to where's the question of where's our boasting now is more so like, well, what's the big deal anyway? Like, why is boasting such a big problem that we have to address it now at the end of Romans 3? We've already actually had boasting in this passage. If you're looking at Romans 3, it won't take you very long or very hard. Just look back a few verses. Look to Romans 1, 29. I love that noise. That's a good noise. Rustle of Bibles. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. Man, we got some list of some rough stuff here, full of evil. They're full of envy now, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. Whoever these people are, man, this is not a good list. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful. Now, you that have been a part of Romans 1 and 2 and 3 and all the way through this series, can we just quickly recognize, who did Romans 1, 29 and 30 talk about? It's us. It's all of humanity. It gives this list of, here's the sin of humanity, and this is us, and we're guilty, and it concludes, here's our boast. Right along with evil and haters of God. So what's so big deal about boasting? Put boasting under the microscope. Cut it open to dissect it. And you will be knocked over by the stench and reek of pride. I can define boasting this way. Boasting is the prideful taking credit for God's gracious work in our lives. I think many of us have the experience. You've had the experience where you've walked into the office or you've walked into class and you've worked on this group project or you've worked on this new sales technique and initiative. And as you walk in, you hear somebody taking credit for your work. You know, like that group project where you just did 99% of all the work. And you walk into that kid who's been lazy the whole semester, is there in front of the teacher and say, yep, we did this and I did this and I did this. And you're like, no, I did that all. You know that time where, at work where you've revolutionized how the corporation is thinking through this thing and you've implemented this new measure. And here's your boss talking to his boss and taking credit for the whole thing. How do you feel in those moments? That you might be better than me. My assumption is your blood's boiling in that moment. You're like, wait a minute, I did that. I deserve credit for that. I worked hard on that. You don't get any credit for that. Okay. Infinitely more. That is our boasting before God. Where we take a look at our life and you're like, look how good I am and look what I've accomplished and look how I'm gifted and look how hard I've worked and I'm pretty good. And God in heaven can look down and say, wait a minute here. I did that, and I'm responsible for that, and I gave you life, and I've gifted you here. That's all me. This is why I say boasting is the prideful I'm taking credit for what God's gracious work has done in my life. So, and by boast, I am wronging God, and I'll also contend in my boasting, I am wronging others. Because when I boast, I'm not just stealing praise from God, but when I boast, I want others to worship me in that moment. And if they're worshiping me, they are not worshiping God. In that moment, I want their thoughts to be of me in my boast, not of a great God. And so in that moment, I am wronging them because I am attempting to pull their thoughts down into what is not worthy of praise, into what will not satisfy, into what is not worthy of boast. Sadly, the question, what becomes of boasting? Where is our boasting now? If we're being honest, we could even answer, it's right inside of our own religions and our churches. Our service today could have been saturated with boastful thoughts. Look how good we are. Look how my kids obeyed and theirs aren't. Look how long it took somebody to figure that out. I knew that one years ago. They're not even paying attention. I'm paying attention. Look back at Romans 2. Boasting's already been covered. It's shown up. Romans 2:17. He begins talking, packing the Jews. The Jews were professional boasters. Like when it came to spiritual things, they knew how to pat themselves on the back. Because their religion was, I did this. Verse 17. But if you call yourself a Jew and you rely on the law and you boast in God. Now that kind of sounds good, like I boast in God. But it's not so much that they're boasting in God's good. They're saying, look, I have God. And know his will, and if you are sure that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness. And it goes on and on. They boasted in their position before God. They thought, here, we have God, we're Jews. Look how good we are. Look how much we know about God. We really shouldn't be surprised that they boasted. They thought they were right with God because of all they did. Their responsibilities, their goodness, they're saying no to things that are wrong. They're saying yes to, I'm doing all these things. In fact, I've shared this before. I love Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke 18. He says, look, let me just tell you what their boasting looked like. And he pictures a Pharisee going up to the temple to pray. And he prays like this, God, I thank you, like I'm not like other men are. Okay, What a lame way to begin a prayer. God, I fast twice a week. Good for you. God, I tithe of everything I possess. God, look how I thank you that I'm such a good person. If we think that we are responsible for who we are and our goodness, then we have grounds to boast, even about our own standing before God. And many of us do. So in verse number 27 asks, so what becomes of our boasting? Where's our boasting now? If we are honest, we often have to say, well, it's still right here in my life. And I boast about this in my life, and sometimes I boast about that in my life, and I could even boast about how good I am before you, God. But what's actually at the heart of the question is pushing us to see the outworking of all that he just got done saying. Because verse number 27 gives a very different answer than saying, yeah, it's all over my life right now. Verse number 27 asks the question, so where is boasting now? And it answers the question in a very different way than saying, yeah, it's all through our life. It answers the question by saying, it is excluded. Literally, it is shut out. The doors are closed. Boasting is left out in the cold. It's cut out of my life. It is excluded out of everything. And that leads to a question like, so then, like, how is it excluded? By what kind of law, it says? By a law of works? Maybe it's excluded because we worked really hard and we obeyed a lot. No. But by a law of faith, verse 27. How? Verse 28, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. We are justified not by what we do, not by how good we are, not how much I've ticked off on spiritual checklists. We are justified. We're made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, and God has given us that faith. So it's God's working. Let me boil it down to one phrase. The gospel kills boasting. The very first thing we get to application in this book, after unpacking all of the gospel here and saying, here's our sinfulness and let's introduce faith and justification, the very first application implication is you, Christian, have no grounds to boast anymore. Because the gospel kills all boasting. If what we say we believe is true, if the gospel is justification by faith alone, by grace alone, in Christ alone, then boasting is excluded because it's all God. Salvation is not me doing anything. It is God doing everything. So I have no way to boast now. If I boast that I am spiritual, if I boast in my morality, if I boast in that I'm a pretty good person, please hear me here. If you pat yourself on the back about your own goodness, you have a massive warning sign that you may not actually believe the gospel of salvation for your sins through faith in Jesus Christ alone. Because everything about the gospel in Jesus Christ kills all ground to say, look at how good I am. Just dissect this with me. The gospel kills boasting because it reminds us of who we were. Just think back through Romans 1 again. I could just like stick my finger anywhere really in Romans 1 and Romans 2 and for most of Romans 3, and I could find a verse that would tell us, you remember who you were? You were sinful. So just pick one verse. Let's go Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, and that they is not, well, they, we were better. We just went right back to boasting. That they is humanity. We're part of that. For although they knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to God, but became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. It is irrelevant how young you were when you received Jesus Christ, if you did. That verse described who you were when you were born. It may still describe you right now. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are futile. You are foolish in a dark heart. What were you? 24, you were given to lust. You were given to your own passions. Verse 28, God gave you up to a debased mind. What were you? You were full of envy, evil, self-sinfulness, inventors of evil, faithless, ruthless. This is who I was apart from Jesus Christ's grace. Helpless, rejecter of God, no ability in myself to figure things out, Some of you are thinking, Pastor, you must have been a wretched little kid. Like, if that's who you were, that sounds really bad. It was all in my heart. And it came out. Like, if you want to push back and you're like, well, Pastor, I mean, you give some pretty dark things, like they dishonored God, they were futile in their thinking, foolish in their hearts, evil, sinful, lustful. Man, Pastor, I was a pretty sweet seven-year-older, okay? Like, I really wasn't that bad. Okay, you might have been like the world's best kid with gold stars every day at school. Romans 2 is written for you. Because Romans 2 says, fine, you want to say you're pretty good, let me show you God's standard of the law, and God's standard of the law is perfection. It's like you are always good. You never mess up. Or we can just end up in Romans 3, verse 9, for we have already charged that we are all under sin. Verse 10, none is righteous, no, not one. Want to boast? Being sinful, unrighteous, foolish, debased mind, evil does not sound like grounds for boasting. But that is what every one of us were apart from Jesus Christ. We were born in sin and we continue in sin unless something changes. And here's the sobering news. It's not just that I was in sin, that's just who I was, but because of that's who I was, the gospel reminds me of what I deserve. Again, go to verses we've already covered. Verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So if you already tick the box and saying, yep, the gospel reminds me that I was sinful, I was unrighteous, I was ungodly, then Romans has already also told me what I already did deserve because of that. Verse number 18, I deserved the wrath of God. All of my sin, Romans 2:5, I can keep on just checking this off, simply says I was storing up wrath for myself on the day of wrath where God judges me. Verse 8, obey unrighteousness, it says there will be wrath and fury from God. You still be pushing back and saying this sounds a little bit harsh. Romans 2:16, on that day, God's judgment day, when according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of mankind. Every one of your friends might tell you you're a good person. They might say, look, you really don't do anything that bad. That will not matter when you stand before God for judgment. Because God creates you, He knows you. And when He judges you, it will not be just on the actions the world sees around you and your goodness that you can put up temporarily at times. God will judge you according to your secrets, according to your thoughts, your desires, your motives. The gospel says, look at who you were. You were sinful. You were rebellious of God. You were helpless. Look at what you deserved. You deserve God's judgment, God's wrath poured out on you. All that sin leads us to a point where Romans 3 says every mouth might be stopped and the whole world is held accountable before God. We're going to get to boasting in a second again, but this might be a warning for you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't turned from your sins, if you're still trying to explain away why what you do really isn't sinful, you're trying to parse words, but trying to make yourself look better, here's your warning. You will be judged by God as guilty and justly condemned for sin. Christian, the gospel kills my boasting because it reminds me of what I deserved. But then if we as Christians, If that's what I deserved, how did I go from being sinful and deserving of judgment from God to being an adopted child of God? Because that's a pretty radical transformation. Like, how do I go from being foolish and futile in my thinking and unrighteous before God and evil and inventors of evil things to being child of God and righteous and headed to heaven? Like, that's like one of the best before and after pictures, which is like, we love boasting with before and after pictures. Look what I look like. Look what I am now. So if I had anything to do with this before and after picture of saying, look, yep, this is what I used to be, and yep, this is what I used to deserve, but look at me now, look how good I am now, and if I had an ounce of responsibility in this transformation, then I would have all the grounds to boast over any one of you all. In fact, Paul's going to get there. I think I can go there right now because we're going to forget that Paul went there in a month. Because if you look just a few verses after chapter 3 gets done, look at Romans 4, verse number 2. For if Abraham, man, he just went to the big leagues right there. Let me go to the father of the Jews. Let me go to the person who God promises to make a great nation from his offspring. Let me go to a person that God directly made an amazing promise to. For if Abraham was justified, if he was made right by his works. Now, this is hypothetical. Please don't read this and say, bingo, I got this. I know how to do this. Because I got a verse for you, Romans 3:28. I already read it. But if this was possible, he has something to boast about. Like, if I could take this transformation of I was sinful and I worked really, really, really hard and I said no over here and I said no over here and I did this good and I did this good and I did a lot of this good, then I'd have grounds to boast at the end because I could say, look what I've done. Okay. Let me say it this way. If your religion, if your belief structure, You can say, I'm not religious. We're all religious. You all have a belief structure. If your beliefs give you room to boast about yourself and your goodness and what you have done, your beliefs are not from God. If somewhere you think, well, this is how I view life, and this is how I view how I could be right with God, and the end equation you get to is your ability to say, look how good I am. Your beliefs are not from God. They're from your own thinking. Because the way God has laid it out says you have no grounds for boasting anymore. They're all gone. Because this before and after picture of this is what you were and this is what you deserve and this is what you are now is all because of grace. See, the gospel kills boasting because it reminds us of what we are and what we have is all by God's grace. Now, the way verse 27 says it is, where's our boasting now? Like, what happened to it? Well, it's excluded. It's cut out. How? Well, maybe by the law of works. Maybe because we worked really hard. Nope. But by a law of faith. But this is where we are so hardwired pridefully to boast in ourselves. Because I can say, boasting is excluded by a law of faith, and we can hear, faith. Huh. I have faith. In fact, I have a lot of faith. In fact, look at me and how I have faith in Jesus Christ. I figured it out. Like, I figured out what God has said and how I could be right with him. It's through faith. I figured it out. You know, so-and-so, they haven't figured it out yet. Unbelievable. Do you realize how many we just ended up at boasting again? Just by that simple word of faith. Christian, where did the faith come from? God. It is given to me as a gift, not that I deserved. I did not figure out salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, because I'm really smart. Christian, you are not here because somehow you connected the dots and someone else didn't. You are here today because God gave you a gift, and it's called faith. And it opened your eyes up to see what you were blind to and put in your heart to say, yes, I do believe. But even saying that, we are still prone to boast because we can say, well, yes, God gave faith. Man, he really poured out faith on me. I had nothing to do with this. But I kind of understand why God did that for me. Because I really was probably a pretty good person. And he knew I could offer him a lot once I got saved. And I mean, I can serve him a lot of ways that other people can't serve him. And again, we so get prone to pride that we end up right back at boasting again. Which I love. I love how Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians about who we were. I mean, he just like squashes all ability for pride here. Looking at the church of Corinth. Not many of you were wise according to the flesh. Okay, if you are understanding what he just said, he just called us all stupid, okay? He said, you guys really weren't all that smart. Humanly speaking, there were a lot of other smarter people. Then he goes on, not many of you were mighty. Like really, you weren't really strong. You're kind of actually rather weak. And not many of you were noble. You were pretty low on the totem pole around this world. And then God chooses what is weak and God chooses what is foolish to confound the wise as he calls us. So when I get to this statement that my faith is a gift from God and the fact that God gave me that gift has nothing to do because he looked at Luke Love and said, man, that guy's trying hard. I'm going to give him a leg up. It had nothing to do with him looking at me and saying, man, he's pretty smart. I could use him. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's saying, look it, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and I'm going to find what is weak, what is broken, what the world would say is foolish, and I'm going to give them faith. Really shouldn't surprise us. Think about how God works. David doesn't get invited to an anointing ceremony. And God says, I'm going to use him. Think about who Jesus calls. Like if you're in the HR department of Jesus' ministries and you're giving them the recommendations of the resumes around here, are you handing them resumes for Peter? The guy's got personality issues. I don't think we're going to work with him. James, John? Nope, sorry. Levi's not even making the short list, not the long list even. We have a look at who Jesus calls, and he does exactly what he does with the gospel. Let me go out and let me call what is weak, what is lowly, what is forgotten, and say, I'm going to give them faith. I'm going to save them as my child so that God is the only one who can be glorified by it. That's why Paul at the end can say, for the grace of God, I am what I am. I have no grounds for boasting. Paul used to think he did. He would have told you all about his pedigree, of his family, of his training, super good academics. Paul would have told you all about how he's kept different laws, memorized scripture, in the synagogue so many times. He had a religion that allowed him to boast because it was about how good he was. And if your religion allows you to boast, you are showing that your beliefs are not from God. Now, I've said quite a bit this morning that the gospel kills boasting. That's only partially true. The gospel kills my boasting of myself. See, the gospel kills a certain type of boasting. It kills my ability to say, I'm good. Look at me. But the gospel also gives us the ability to boast in what is actually truly worthy of boasting. Galatians 6, may I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. The gospel, yes, kills my selfish, pride-filled boasting. But the gospel gives me the ability to boast in what truly is worthy of boasting. The gospel allows me to say, look, here is what God did. The gospel allows me to say, here, look what God saved me from. The gospel allows me to say, look, here's how God graciously is working in my life. The gospel allows me to say, look, let me sing praise to God. The gospel allows me to say, look, let me tell you how good and amazingly gracious God is. The gospel even allows me, when the compliments come our way, to turn humbly and saying, God, I will boast in you because you are the one that deserves all the credit. You're the one that has worked in my life. If it wasn't for you, I know where I would still be. You're the one that has saved me. You're the one that has changed me. You're the one that has blessed me. You're the one that has gifted me. And so, no, I don't boast in who I am. If we truly understand the gospel, it will kill our boasting. Let's pray. And so, Father God, we say thank you for your word. We recognize our own sinfulness. And I pray today the gospel brings us humble.